May have some good news for some guilty couples out there. Over the weekend, a global meeting of Catholic bishops, a synod intended to address issues of modern family life, began in Rome. It will be a chance for bishops to openly discuss the meaning of something the Pope did a few weeks ago, something you may have missed. Pope Francis performed 20 weddings earlier this year for couples who consider themselves to be living in sin according to their own Catholic upbringing, people who would traditionally have been considered unfit to wed by the Catholic Church, some who had lived together before marriage, in some cases for years, and others who had children out of wedlock. Is this synod likely to be historic? Reverend James Bretsky, professor of moral theology at the Boston College School of Theology and Ministry, joins me now. Reverend, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you very much.
So, you know, I'm out of this, you know, raised a Unitarian, so I'm very much an outsider here. But I suspect the bishops are very much talking about what the Pope's intent was in that marriage ceremony, in addition to all the other issues they're going to be taking up.
Very, very much so. One of the most interesting things about this synod is the amount of very open and at times even acrimonious debate amongst the bishops and cardinals leading up to the synod. Besides the usual trying to read the Roman tea leaves, when the Pope does this or the Pope says that, what does that mean? When the opening speech by Cardinal Erdo from Hungary goes this way, what does that mean? So it's quite interesting to watch.
In the way that these bishops operate, are we likely to see some, you know, a big general statement, you know, love conquers all, you know, just be loving and that's just fine? Or is it going to be more of a getting down into the details of, well, if you're living in sin, as long as you do X, Y, and Z, da-da-da-da-da-da, it'll be fine?
Well, I think that would not – somewhere in between those two options. The synod goes for 2 weeks, and the synod is not in and of itself a policy-making body. So what I think I would be looking for is to see what kind of debate is actually coming out of the synod. And I think that's what the Pope's looking for, too. I really think he's not trying to get – way out ahead of the group or way behind the group, but he's trying to say, well, where would the consensus seem to be emerging? And it's clear he himself wants to push what he calls the gospel of mercy, the gospel of joy, and pastoral outreach to people who are suffering. This might mean, if he seems to get a certain amount of consensus, it could mean that the concrete rules on admitting divorced and remarried Catholics to Holy Communion could change, but it's not going to change in 2 weeks.
Right. Is this also an example of Pope Francis's political savvy, if we can call it that, in the sense that even beyond the question of family rules and family doctrine, he's really signaling here, come and bring your best ideas. This isn't a climate of fear. This is really much more a climate for open debate, wouldn't you say?
Very much so. And that's what he said today. Well, it's already over in Rome. In his opening remarks, he said to the cardinals and the bishops' presence to speak without fear, to speak honestly. And that is new. His two previous predecessors, Pope Benedict XVI and Pope John Paul II, I think were very much people who were trying to say, here is the church teaching, it's unchangeable, and we have to bring everyone into conformity with it. This Pope is, I think, really trying to open up the possibility of debate and discussion, and he's already succeeded at that.
What would you say the impact is in the Catholic world of a doctrine that embraces all people who declare themselves Catholics in numbers around the world versus trying to figure out who are the true Catholics based on traditional doctrine?
Well, there's a distinction I would make here between what we call doctrine and discipline. So the doctrine is that a sacramental marriage between two Christians is indissoluble until the death of one or the other partner. Discipline is what do you do in the case of this person or that person that doesn't fully correspond to that doctrine. Now, for example, in the United States, up until the early 70s, divorced and remarried Catholics were excommunicated. They're no longer excommunicated, but they are barred from receiving Holy Communion. So that's a discipline. So that could change, especially in the Orthodox Church, where they allow a second marriage if there's contrition over the failure of the first marriage. So that's a matter of discipline. It's related to doctrine, but you have to make that distinction.
Would you say that Catholics around the world, and particularly in the United States, are breathing easier looking at the style of this pope? Or is the Catholic Church as irrelevant as polls seem to suggest it is in the United States, particularly in the secular world?
Well, I think many Catholics are breathing easier because I think I work at a parish on the weekends, and one of the parishioners said to me the other day, he has felt, and this is a man in his 70s and a very mainstream sort of guy, he's felt very energized and inspired by the Pope and the direction the church is changing. I think that that's what a lot of people are, in fact, inspired by. But there still is a very conservative, loud, and small minority that want a church of sort of like the Mensa Club, just the ultra observers, the very pure. And that has always been a tension in the church for millennia.
Finally, what will be the result of the ideological prelates and the words in places like Africa and South America that are very, very traditional on all kinds of issues, including the question of homosexuality?
Well, every place has their own kind of flashpoint or burning issue. For example, in Africa, the burning issue really is multiple marriages when you have de facto polygamy, and also what they call marriages by degrees, where a couple will come together, live together, not get married until they have the birth of the first child. So every place has a slightly different issue that is very important for them. Overall, the Pope's atmosphere and his constant rhetoric of going out to the margins, trying to minister to people where they are wounded, I think that's going to play well throughout the world because everywhere someone is wounded.
Absolutely the case. Reverend James Bretsky, professor of moral theology at Boston College School of Theology and Ministry, commenting on the two-week synod of Catholic bishops that's begun in Rome, in the midst of a sign that there may be some changes regarding traditional family practices in the Catholic Church. Reverend, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.